It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It's Simpsons time. Let's talk about season 8. Still squarely in the classic era. The show is a little bit past its prime according to some people, but not according to me, and I think not according to the majority of fans at this point. The DVD of this also contains A Milhouse Divided, which is so many people's favorite episode. And all these other great ones. Anyway, the one that I'm going to talk about today is The Homer They Fall, written by Jonathan Collier, directed by Mark Kirkland, and a very, very good, very referential to other cinematic experiences. And a very big, lavish show. Big production. This is the one where Homer becomes a prize fighter, a championship boxer, with all that goes along with it. All the fame and glory and danger and tasteless attire. And dramatic black and white montages. That are attendant to being a championship heavyweight boxer. I always think that this is an earlier episode. It has the feel of a season 6, sort of similar to Homer going to clown college, and Marge becoming a cop, you know, that kind of thing. And I think they were still milking that conceit, and it had not yet started to grow completely stale, you know, like, oh, okay, now I have this job, now I'm doing this crazy, you know, I'm filling this crazy role that we've seen other people play in pop culture. But what to me makes it a little bit less like season 6 and more like the latter end of the classic era is the way it is structured. To wit, there is a whole story that's pretty much self-contained, but that segues into the main story that's all at the beginning of the episode. And when you think back to this show, you probably don't remember how it starts. Bart acquires a utility belt from comic book guy who's trying to return it at a store. And he's really, really excited to have it because it's got all these gadgets. It's like an Inspector Gadget tool. One of the things it has is a sphygmomanometer, which is like insane, you know, and it's got turn signals and a parachute that says call the police and all these amazing features. But he gets into trouble with the bullies from wearing it, or because he's wearing it. And after Jimbo Dolphin Kearney beat up Bart, Homer wants to defend him, and so he tries to fight the fathers of Jimbo Dolphin Kearney, which is pretty exciting because it affords you a rare glimpse at these three men. And yeah, Dolph's father especially does not look the way one might think. I thought it was very interesting that he had an eye patch, because Dolph, you can only ever see one of his eyes because he's got floppy hair in front of the other one. Kearney's dad kind of looks the way you'd expect, and Jimbo's dad just looks just like him. I mean, you know, they all look just like their sons in true Simpsons style. But with a few exciting touches. Oh, I'll go back and say that I like that they are comparing their own belts to Bart's, like, fancy one. And it is noted that Jimbo's belt is just a piece of extension cord. And that, of course, makes him madder. So Homer learns that he's able to withstand a lot of hitting without blacking out when he has this fight with the three fathers in Moe's, because they pound him and he doesn't get tired, he doesn't fall down, and so they just get frustrated and leave, and then that makes Moe realize that he's got kind of a goldmine fighter on his hands. And it is at this point that we see something exciting about the episode, which is that it is a Moe episode. Not as common as ones about each of the family, but peppered throughout the series. Episodes with Moe as the not central character, but, you know, that deal a lot with him. The first one, of course, was Flaming Moe's, but there have been lots and lots of great ones. The one where Helen Hunt was his girlfriend is another great one. Dumbbell Indemnity, it's called. Ooh, I should do that one, too. So, yeah, we learned that Moe used to be a fighter himself, and, of course, everybody loves the names that he rattles off of what he used to be called. Kid Presentable is a favorite joke of mine. It's something that I think about a lot. And it's one of those ones that if I ever were on forums and stuff, I would call myself that. It's such a cool nickname. Kid Gorgeous, then. Kid Presentable. Kid Gruesome. And later, Kid Mo. He has an office, which is the ladies' room of Moe's, that he realized many years back no ladies were going into, so he turned it into his management office. And there's pictures all over the walls of Moe in his glory days as a fighter. He still has his spit bucket. And there are a couple of really great little jokes about it being a bathroom and an office at the same time. He sits on the toilet and there's a desk in front of the toilet. And when Lucius Sweet, the manager of Dredrick Tatum, first comes in for a conversation, Moe is sitting at that desk and he gets a cigar out of the tampon dispenser, which is like really great. Very inspired. I love Lucius Sweet as a character. I'll get to that in a moment. Homer is excited, you know, that he has this knack for not being knocked out. But Marge makes him go to Dr. Hibbert to get checked out, you know, hopefully to have him put the kibosh on the idea. But of course, Hibbert endorses it fully. He says that he more than meets all the requirements, not just to be a boxer, but to be shot out of a cannon, because he has Homer Simpson syndrome, which means that his brain is encased in an eighth of an inch of fluid. And he takes out a surgical 2x4 and is about to hit Homer with it himself, but then they have to go. And I just want to say that I love the surgical 2x4 that is sealed, that he rips open. So he becomes a fighter. He trains, and Mo discovers that Homer really can't punch. He can't do anything except just stand there and be hit. And so his strategy is just to do that until his opponent gets tired and he just nudges him and knocks him over. All the other boxers that Homer competes against are hobos. They are from the Switchyard. One of them is called Switchyard Sullivan. And the rest of them are called Boxcar, and then their name. Boxcar Bob is the first one, who looks a lot like a very shaggy Lenny. But yeah, that is what is the inspiration for the Raging Bull montage in Black and White, where we see Homer's name climb up the standings over Boxcar Ira and, what's the other one? Anyway, all the boxcar dudes. And did I see, I didn't freeze frame it, but I thought I saw that one of the names was Rosie Perez. And I wonder why that is. I think there must be some news story attached to that. Or maybe I just was imagining it. I was pretty sure I saw that. You know, when people badmouth the Simpsons publicly, sometimes it comes back to bite them in a not very harmful way, because the Simpsons has their fun the way they did with Barbara Bush. Yeah, there are other film references. There's references to Rocky, like when you see Bart taping Homer's hands, and they're sort of in silhouette. But yeah, so Homer is a very, very well-known boxer within Springfield because of defeating all these hobos. And so that inspires Lucius Sweet, who is just like Don King, to visit Mo, and in his very florid way of speaking, convince Mo to put up Homer against the champ, Dredrick Tatum, based on Mike Tyson, who is just about to get out of prison. The design of Dredrick Tatum, I've always really, really liked that he's incredibly wide. You know, he not only has this square Tyson-esque head and the voice as well. But he's like three times the width of any of the other characters. And he just looks so scary and imposing. So, yeah, Lucius Sweet is just a really great voice. And I love how he, like, sails in and is the quintessential boxing promoter. And the way he says things like, oh, we will celebrate his triumphant return to the shores of Fistiana. Like all those overly wordy terms that he has. Because everything in boxing is, you know, things being fluffed up and overly decorated and all this. Mo says, no, no, you know, the champ will fustigate him. Talking about Homer. And Lucius Sweet goes, well, fustigation aside, Mo. So it happens. There is a fight in Springfield, and it's amazing. Michael Buffer, as himself, is the announcer. And, you know, they draw him to look like himself, and he just does it. And it's great to hear the voice of Michael Buffer introducing all of these celebrities that are sitting ringside. And all of those introductions are hilarious. From the McBain movies and a major player in the Hollywood prostitution scandal, Rainier Wolfcastle. From the world of organized crime, Anthony Fat Tony D'Amico. By this time, Fat Tony is called D'Amico, by the way, in his introduction back in, you know, the first episode where he's seen when Bart stumbles into the underground den of iniquity. He is called William Fat Tony Williams, which I think is a pretty funny joke, but I understand why they abandoned it. So it really is a big deal. Dredrick Tatum comes out with his entourage, and Homer comes out just, you know, very clumsy. He stumbles into the ring, has to be helped into the ring. And it really looks very bad for Homer. He is being pulverized. Like 10 seconds in. I think the round lasts like 6 seconds before Mo is really realizing that he has to step in and save him. And then it's like 10 or 15 seconds in before the Deus Ex Machina kind of happens. It's not really a Deus Ex Machina, but Mo does swoop in the way God might, using the fan that he stole from Fan Man to lift Homer out of the ring before he can be really murdered by Tatum. And he lifts him all the way up through the ceiling and lands him safely outside the stadium. I really like that it's a happy moment. You know, the crowd is displeased, but we don't really see that. And Dredrick congratulates Homer, saying like, oh, my manager would never do that for me. You know, like, your manager must really love you to do that. You know, Lucius, would you do that for me? And Lucius is like, absolutely, I would. Now get in the van. I love the quote, Mo, you couldn't even give me one lousy round. Now take your check for $100,000 and get out of my sight. And he folds the check neatly and puts it in his breast pocket. And the episode ends with, under the credits, Mo doing life-saving missions all over the world with the fan. You know, like saving people from floods and volcanoes and stuff. While Sally Stevens sings, "People Who Need People Are the Luckiest People in the World." And that is how this really, really quite wonderful, show-stopping, marvelous episode ends. One penultimate thing I'll mention is that the t-shirts that are sold right before the fight, that have the like starburst with Homer's face in it with the boxing glove coming towards it, and the guy is like, tell him where you been by wearing a t-shirt. One of the Simpsons bootleggers is making those t-shirts now in black or white, and they're great. I am planning to shop for one and get one. And the last thing I'll say is my UFM for the episode. I don't like that Dredrick Tatum, when he's talking to Charlie Sheen ringside, says stupendous, because Lucius Sweet used the word stupendous like not even a minute before. And I feel like it's such an easy little thing to fix, you know, that a proofreader could have done and whatever. My Gordon Lish workshopping tendencies get the best of me sometimes, but that always distracts me. I do like that Tatum is talking about the sea bass at a certain restaurant that he wants Charlie Sheen to also try. And with that, we will draw the curtain on Simpsons Time for another week. Thank you for listening to Simpsons Time. Thank you! My name is Amanda Nazario, and I am so supremely grateful to you, dear listener, for listening to Simpsons Time through the Debigulator, a podcast from WFMU in Jersey City. Man, it would seem that I have so much else to talk about regarding the Homer They Fall and regarding this particular Simpsons lecture that I did maybe 2 years ago, maybe a little less than that. I do have the t-shirt. I bought the t-shirt. It's one of my prized garments. And I also told a friend who's an MMA reporter whose favorite episode this is that he should also buy the t-shirt. And he has. So good, lining the pockets of these awesome Simpsons bootleggers. The thing that I said about the Simpsons sort of benignly coming for those in the public eye that criticize them, definitely that is something that came to a head a couple months ago when the problem with Apu was addressed, and not addressed very cleanly or well, and really upset a lot of fans, myself included. So yeah, it's just, you know, yet another sign of the changing times and the changing ways The Simpsons is received, that convention of theirs is no longer viable. It's not something that they should do anymore, at least not to a filmmaker like Hari Kondabolu, in my opinion. And I'm very optimistic that it will be fixed, you know? I was heartened by Hank Azaria's statement, the statement that came from him himself after the whole thing went down. And in this episode, the issue of Hank Azaria voicing characters of color is definitely something that I think about, you know. Hello. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Amnaz, AMNAZZ. You can follow me on Instagram. I post there quite frequently, not that frequently, but somewhat frequently, at AM_NAZZ, or you can just drop a comment here on the playlist or write me an email through the WFMU email link. Okay, I think I've said enough. This is a very long Simpsons time, which I hope you've enjoyed. And I will talk to you next week. My lovelies, have a good one. Bye.